Hello, friends. Pastor Jefferson here again. I am the lead pastor at DWJD Ministries, where our mission statement is contained within our name. The letters D, W, J, and D stand for Doing What Jesus Did. And we are indeed a ministry, which the Merriam-Webster Dictionary defines as the service, function, or profession of a person or organization authorized to conduct worship on the part of God. That describes our work perfectly. We strive to do all that God commands us in the Bible. And, as you heard in the intro sermon, I've started a sermon series which has as its core purpose the stated goal of bringing people closer to Christ by vastly improving their knowledge level of the Word of God. The reason for this is quite simple. Over the past 2 decades, I've been receiving regular and persistent feedback from Christians who are dissatisfied with the quality and substance of their biblical education. The most frequent complaint I hear is that there is simply too little focus on the actual text of Scripture and the resulting meaning of those words. That in and of itself is a huge problem. This is a key symptom of parishioners that are losing faith in the church. Most folks who call themselves Christians want to see far more emphasis on the Bible itself and much less on what I refer to as the Sunday morning show. In a typical modern-day service, by the time the choir sings, visitors get recognized, announcements made, solos performed, altar call completed, and lest we forget, passing around the collection plate, there is scarcely any time left for the pastor's message. And no one seated in the sanctuary wants the service to go 1 minute past noon. I've seen calmer sheep being led to the slaughter than a congregation awaiting release after the pastor has gone 15 minutes overtime. So this artificial time restriction predictably results in the delivery of what is often a quick and somewhat superficial sermon that is heavy on bluster but light on substance. So, from an educational point of view, I ask you, what did Jesus do during his time spent here on earth? Apart from performing miracles like healing the sick, raising the dead, calming stormy seas, feeding multiple thousands of people using only meager supplies, and turning water into wine, what did he spend the majority of his time doing? Jesus sought to train his 12 disciples, teaching them all he could about God, his Father, the Holy Spirit, and of course, himself. Now, while Jesus did instruct his band of disciples regarding himself, he almost always did it while speaking in the third person. Did you ever wonder about why he did that? The answer is he knew that his disciples saw him as a mortal teacher and a temporal friend, and not as the long-awaited Messiah. So in order to elevate his words to a higher level, he spoke in the third person. There was good reason for Jesus doing that. This method is often referred to as third-person omniscient, as this style of speaking allows the narrator to teach from an all-knowing or God's eye point of view. Despite being the bona fide Son of God, Jesus was not fully recognized and accepted as such by his disciples until after his death and resurrection. And so, he taught them from his position as the all-knowing Son of God and not from the vantage point of the man they simply knew as Jesus. After all, Jesus was the Son of God, and he chose to instruct his disciples from that position. Notice that Jesus called his band of followers disciples. The dictionary defines the word to mean a person who is a pupil or an adherent of the doctrines of another. In the case of Christianity, our adherent is Jesus Christ. Therefore, a true disciple is one who is a pupil of Jesus Christ, who's learning to become an advocate of his or God's doctrine as revealed within the pages of the Bible. This discussion now begs the question, so what are we supposed to be doing? Or better yet, what did Jesus tell us to do? Let's return to our source doctrine, the Holy Bible. Open it up to Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 and 20. It reads, "Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things, whatever I commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." There is a ton of information here in just these two verses, and so I'm only going to hit a couple of points in this message. But don't worry, we'll be spending lots more time on these verses in future audio messages. So the answer to my two questions, Jesus answered in just six words: make disciples of all the nations. My next question is obvious and begs to be asked. How do we then make disciples? Is Jesus talking about the procreation of new human beings? No, of course not. He's clearly talking about the entire population of the world. But the truth is, we're not called to make people do anything which they do not want to do. I'm now going to demonstrate how in-depth Bible study answers these questions. When we examine the original Greek text of Matthew, we see that there is only one word for make disciples. It is mathetousate. This particular Greek word is only used just this one time in Scripture, so its meaning must be closely scrutinized, as it is unique and special. The Greek dictionary defines it to mean to enroll as a scholar. So Jesus is instructing us to go out and find persons who are willing to enroll as a scholar in the study of God from among all the nations of the world. The dictionary defines a scholar as one who attends a school or studies under the direction of a teacher or instructor. Thus, using a dictionary and the original Greek language, we can determine that Jesus is calling for a formal educational program to instruct students in the godly doctrine as found within the pages of the Word of God. The next point to consider is, who's supposed to be performing the instruction in the making of disciples? The Greek word Jesus used at the start of verse 20 for teaching is didaskontes, and it means to reprove. The word reprove is a form of criticism which is reserved for correcting faults and usually done in a gentle manner coupled with kindly intent. Therefore, our primary job is not to teach, but rather to steer and guide new disciples by ensuring that they are properly applying the knowledge which they're being taught. So the answer to my question is that it is Jesus who is still the one doing all of the primary instruction for his disciples. He does it via the use of God's written word with the integral assistance of God's Holy Spirit. Every disciple, starting back with the original 12 and continuing right up until today, are supposed to be primarily taught using the words of Jesus himself. Look in verse 20 where it says, "Reproving them to observe," what? "All things, whatever I commanded you." Jesus is the one who is still leading his flock. Let's now consider the Greek word present for all things. It is panta and means the whole of, to include every part. The next word we see is whatever. The Greek word used here is hosa, and it means of abundance and copious. And the word for I commanded is enetailamen, and translates to enjoy one to reach the end objective. Enjoin is defined as to direct or impose by authoritative order with urgent admonition. The phrase thus becomes to include every part of the abundant and copious information to direct or impose by authoritative order with urgent admonition to reach the end objective. Jesus is the teacher, and we are his proctors. Our job is to be done with stern and cautionary guidance. After all, people's eternal salvation is at risk. It is my goal to keep the length of these audio sermons to around 15 minutes, but it's also my purpose to pack them with ample biblical teaching based 100% on the Word of God. As you can see, I make ample use of the original languages, as well as a dictionary. Words which are used need to be identified and their meaning made crystal clear. Since I started the beginning of this audio message while examining just two verses, I have already identified 5 original Greek words and covered 11 definitions. And we're just getting started. As you will see, I will continue to cover these two verses over the next several messages. I am demonstrating here the essence of true Bible study. Now, your homework assignment is to go back and look up the two verses and review the Greek words we just talked about, as well as their associated definitions. I recommend using BibleHub.com for the original words of the Bible. Just type in the verse you want, hit enter, and it will appear. Then, click on Interlin to see the original language displayed. If you click on any word by itself, it will show you all the instances where that exact word appears in the Bible. And quite frequently, like with the word for make disciples, it will only appear once. Now, click on Summary to pull up the definition. It really is that simple. But the real reason I'm asking you to do this is that when you study God's Word in this manner, you're allowing the Holy Spirit to teach you the finer details which you might have missed while listening solely to my voice. Do it, and I guarantee you will quickly see what I mean. Now, if you're going to tell me you don't have the time for this level of effort, then I will next ask you, what are you going to do with the first 1,000,000 years you spend in the lake of fire? I am only exercising what Jesus told us to do, directing you by imposing an authoritative order regarding what you are to do via urgent admonition. Listen, friends, most of the preachers occupying the pulpits of the modern church today are in reality no different than the temple elite, the Sadducees, and the Pharisees of Jesus' day. Oh, sure, they're all talking about the Messiah and will frequently invoke the name of Jesus, but few of them, very few in fact, are teaching you how to establish a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Oh, I know you think you know him, but that's not the same as having an actual intimate and personal relationship. The truth is, most of you know of him, but don't actually know him. Do you want proof? Next time you're all alone, with no one else around, and no other distractions, delve deep into your mind and answer the following question. Can you honestly swear on the Bible, before God Almighty, that you have absolutely zero doubt regarding your eternal salvation? I'm betting that if you were truthful, that you do indeed harbor some level of misgiving, and having it regarding your salvation is not normal, as some might have told you. When one is truly saved, with Christ inhabiting their heart, he leaves no room for uncertainty. Building a relationship requires two-way communication. Imagine going on a date where you're the only one ever doing the talking. You never allow the other person to speak. You can go on lots of dates, but without two-way communication, you'll never get to know them. It's the same way with just topically reading the Bible, even doing it every day. Without an in-depth study program, you're not doing much. In fact, those of you who do topically read the Bible every day quickly discover that it's only marginally better than doing nothing at all. Now, I wouldn't call it a total waste of time, but only just barely. Listen, friends, I know this is tough talk, but we each have the responsibility to perform the Great Commission as Jesus commanded of us to do. One simple way this can be done is to try and interest others you know to get them to begin listening to these messages. If they do, you can then begin discussing the teaching with them. Both of you will increase your knowledge level of God. Our job here at DWJD Ministries is simply to teach the message of the gospel and make materials available to enhance the experience. That's it. Let's get back to it now. Notice the very first word in verse 19. It's go. The Greek word used here for go is poriuthentes and translates to pursue the particular journey upon which one has entered. This exact word is used frequently, but not in the sense of physically traveling from one place to another. Rather, its use here reflects an association with the completion of an assigned task, our task of making disciples. And I'm not talking about forwarding a text or an email. I am instead talking about first having a frank and open discussion with someone where you tell them about these messages by explaining that the focus is solely on words of the Bible, God's Word, and how it's broken down into bite-sized pieces using the original languages as well as a dictionary. Then informing them of the fantastic learning which takes place when they take up an active part. Then, if they're interested, offer to send them the link to this audio message. That is the essence of discipleship. Hey folks, my time is up for this message. Listen to it again if you will. There's a lot of material here. Then, when you're ready, go and listen to audio message number 2. And don't forget to help spread the word as Jesus commanded. So until next time, this has been Pastor Jefferson, speaking in God's holy name and for His glory alone. Amen.